Yeah. Yeah, I just want us to stand for a minute. And I just want you, in your own way, to tell the Lord how much you love him tonight. Just tell him, Jesus, I love you. We love you, Father, and we just glorify you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, Father God, for this is a new season that we're entering, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this group that's here tonight, Lord. Father, I thank you, God, that even as you spoke to me, Lord, and you said, take the limits off this year. Father, I thank you, God, that even now, Father God, we're just going to take the limits off of what you're about ready to do in 2023. Father, I thank you, God, that seasons and times are changing, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, that this is the year, God, of restoration. This is the year of promotion. This is a seasonal year, Father God, for we can run with you, God. We can laugh with you, Lord. We can jump with you, God. We can do all the extraordinary things, God, that you've called us to do. And Father, I thank you, God, this is our first Wednesday together in this new year. And Father, I ask you, God, that you would just come tonight, Holy Spirit, and that you would just teach us, Lord, that you would encourage us, Father. Father God, that you would enlighten us, Lord. Father God, each one in this room is already a success, Lord. We are here tonight, God, on a Wednesday, Lord, and I just thank you and praise you, God, for what you're about ready to do through this teaching tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Well, I'm excited to teach this, so let's see. So the title of the message is How to Become Successful. And so I'm going to kind of like, you know, I'm going to toggle through Pastor Dave's notes and my notes. But we've been on Proverbs. And so Pastor Dave first started speaking on this subject. His title when he first taught was The Blessings of Proverbs. Pastor Tim then spoke on the practical application of wisdom. And last week, Pastor Lorraine taught on how to be promoted. So tonight, we're going to see the value of becoming successful. And I love that Pastor Dave takes us to the story of the ant. And so I have to tell you about the story of the ant in my own life first before we get started. So it was back in the 80s, and I had been studying. I had a mentor, and she was teaching me. And we had come across the scripture in Proverbs about the ant. And so we had read that together. And but then one day the Lord really brought it powerful to me, and I was just walking to my mailbox, and I was living in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and it must have been around 1984 or so, and I'm walking to the mailbox, and I look down on the ground, and it's hot in Fayetteville in the middle of July, so it was really hot that day, and I'm walking to the mailbox, and I come across this line of ants, and it wasn't too far from my house. And so I followed the line of ants because I remembered the scripture that I had just previously studied about the ant, to consider the ant and be wise. And so I followed the little line of these ants, and I followed them. And now my house, I lived on a townhome community kind of, and I was like the sixth one in, and my mailbox was out by the road. So I'm walking quite a distance, and I'm walking, and I'm literally following the ant line as I'm walking. I'm like, wow, Lord, look at them. And I'm just getting a revelation of the ant, you know. And it's hot outside. I'm sweating. It's hot, and there is this little ant. Almost all the way to my mailbox was the line of ants, and then they went down into this little hole into the ground. And I thought, wow, Lord, it's hot outside, middle of summer. I want to go to the beach, and the ants are preparing for what they know is coming. So hard times is coming, and this little ant that God created is preparing for the hard times, the winter times, the rough times, the seasons of change in their life. They're preparing. And so I just want us to know tonight that there's might have been seasons in your life, and there could be seasons in your life coming up that may seem a little difficult, but consider the ant and be wise. And when we seek the Lord, we're already successful. Say that with me. When I seek the Lord, I'm already successful. Yeah, God is good. I want to read you. Well, let's take a look at that scripture first, Proverbs 6. And let's read it. So it says, go to the ant, you sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain or overseer or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So the ant is preparing for the hard time to come. And I want to read you. I've got Andrew Warmack's Proverbs commentary. And so I just wanted to see and go back and just remind myself what he had to say about this. So he says, it's amusing that people can learn lessons from animals. Animals don't get sidetracked like people do. Animals are exactly the way God made them to be. Since the fall, there is perversion, and not everything works perfectly. But in general, animals fulfill their calling much better than people do. They aren't lazy the way people are. They don't do foolish things that people do, and they don't hurt themselves. It's just amazing how animals take care of animals. I woke up this morning, and Diane, you'll be shocked about this, but the whole front yard had about, 20 or more robins in the front yard. Yeah, I live in the woods. And so there's 20 robins in the front yard, and I go to the backyard, and there's about 20 more robins in the backyard. And I said to myself, Lord, it's January. The robins should not be here. They shouldn't be here in January. Well, at least in New York, in upstate New York, the robins head south when the winter comes. And we don't see a robin till late spring sometimes, huh, Mom? Or we'll see it, and then we know, once we see the robin, we know spring is coming. But the robins were everywhere, and it's amazing how the birds of the field know exactly how to take care of themselves. So he goes on to say, the industrious of the ant is a total opposite of the laziness of the sluggard. The Lord uses creatures of nature to teach us a lesson to man. Indeed, we can learn much from observing animals. And this morning, the animals were bathing themselves in the puddles because it was pouring outside. And so they were bathing themselves in the puddles, these big old robins, and some of them looked like they were pregnant. I mean, they were big robins. They're dancing in the water in the front yard, and they're grabbing worms out of the ground, and they're just having a good time in my front yard. They knew exactly how to take care of themselves. It's pretty amazing. It amazes me the ability of animals to navigate vast distances. If God gave such an internal guidance system to birds and fish, certainly he gave man the ability to come to him. If the Lord gave instinct to animals to just intuitively fly and take care of their young and migrate, then certainly mankind can also have instinctive knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. And that's beautiful. And you can find that scripture in Romans. Romans 1:18-20. And listen here, he says, there are people who just waste their time. They don't think about the future. They don't make provisions for old age or even for next winter. Some people will buy new cars instead of thinking that cars will eventually need oil changes and new tires. They blow all their money and can't provide for their cars. They aren't as smart as the ant. An ant has more brains than that. And so the Word of God makes these things very, very clear. So when God talks about success, he's actually talking here in this proverb, he's talking about working. And he's talking about consider the sluggard. And so I want to go with you to Pastor Dave's notes. Well, first I'm going to share with you what it means to be successful. I looked this up in the dictionary. And success means a degree or measure of succeeding, its favorable desired outcome, the attainment of wealth, favor, or one that succeeds. And successful actually means gaining or having gained success. So I said earlier in the opening prayer that we're already successful because here we are. We're already successful because we're seeking the Lord. We're already successful because we love who he is and we humble ourselves before him. So number one, Pastor Dave goes on to say that there is a theology of laziness that is prevalent today. Yes, there is. Some teachers focus on the words of Jesus, take no thought for tomorrow. They go to extremes saying, it's all right not to work. How many have heard that? especially in today's world. So they go to extremes and say that it's all right not to work. But looking at the whole counsel of God, he doesn't want us to worry about our future, right? He has provided a means for us to gain our daily necessities. And we do that through work. And that's your fill-in there. So the first fill-in is to work. They go to extremes saying it's all right not to work. And then your second feeling is he has provided a means for us to gain our daily necessities for work. And let's take a look at 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. So that's powerful. So there's something to be said about working. And I'm going to just toggle and give you some notes that I've taken. These are not in yours, but the scriptures I'll pull up here. Well, God does not want us to worry about our future. He does want us to work with our hands, and he wants us to be successful in all that we do. Say that with me. He wants me to be successful. He's given me the ability to gain wealth. And I have that scripture back there, Deuteronomy 8:18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it's he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So that's not in your notes. You might want to toggle that down, Deuteronomy 8:18. From the very beginning, from the beginning of time, God created work. And it started with creation in 6 days, in a 24-hour day. For a total of 144 hours that week, God worked, and on the seventh day, God rested. So God did all of this for an example to his people. Isn't that pretty amazing? All through the first week of creation was an example of how the ability for us to work and for the ability for us to rest, all in the first week of creation. So, and within creation, he placed Adam and Eve in the garden to oversee and to tend to the garden and to work it. That's pretty amazing. So immediately, he put them in the garden to tend the garden, to watch over the garden, and to work the garden. And so he calls you and I, too, to tend to the things that he's given for you and I to do. So outside of work, let's talk about the house of God for a minute. So if God has called you to do something in the house of God, then you do all that's required of you in the house of God, and you do it as unto the Lord. And it's just like with an earthly job. So you have your earthly job, and you go to that job, and you have a boss, but he or she is really not your boss because you're in the kingdom. So your boss is God. And so you go to work with that attitude, and then the blessings of the Lord will happen to you on your place of work. Right. Does that make sense? So, and I see this in my life all the time. So when I go to work, I go into a retail environment. And I work with a bunch of crazies. So I work in a department with lots of, catty women and just all kinds of different kind of people. I'm going to be truthful with you. And so, and some I like to work with and some I would rather not work with, but I got to work. So I'm in the place. And so there I am. And so I've got to sell amongst them. And I have to say, Lord. And I remind myself of Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, that the Lord gives me the ability to gain wealth. And then I remind myself that everything that I touch with my hand shall be blessed. And then I remind myself that my real boss isn't who she thinks that she is. My real boss is God, right? And so at the end of the day, my boss has to bless me because God has blessed me. Does that make sense? So when we have that mindset that our wealth comes from the kingdom, and that we work for God in everything that we do, then wealth and riches of the kingdom will come to us, right? And Janice was sharing a testimony with me this evening and how since she's been here, do you mind me sharing a little bit of that? While she's been here in this church, that truth has just opened up a whole wide range of prosperity and favor and blessings of the Lord in her life, simply by understanding that the kingdom of God is on the inside of her, and wealth comes from the kingdom. It's amazing. So stay with me. My wealth comes from the kingdom. So we have to get that, in our knower. We have to get that we don't work for Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. We work for God in everything that we do. Okay, so I was doing a little bit. I'm in school, in college, and I was doing a little bit of research on a project called Theology of Work Project, and I found this pretty interesting there. And here's what I found on the subject of work. And so to work in God's image is to exercise dominion. And let's take a look at Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." That's pretty powerful. So God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness and let him have dominion over everything, right? So over everything that we lay our hands to, we have dominion over. So when I go to work then, that means I have dominion over everything I lay my hand to do, right? Because God has placed me there in that environment. So I expect for God to bless me. So every single day I went to work this past holiday season, I had increases of doubling my day and sometimes tripling my day. That wasn't anything about Kimberly, but it was everything to who Kimberly gives glory to, and that's to God. I know he's my boss. And so when I go, I want to shine for him because he's watching over me, right? So even when we come into church, So we may not have a secular job, perhaps. Maybe we just come and we work in the church, or we work in a certain calling that God has called us to work in. Do it to the best of your ability. Do it with all that you have in you, because God is the one that's watching. So, okay, so listen here. So a consequence we see in Genesis of being created in God's image is that we are to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And a theologian, Ian Hartz, puts it this way: exercising royal dominion over the earth as God's representative is the basic purpose for which God created man. Man is appointed king over creation. Say, I'm appointed king over creation. Responsible to God, the ultimate king. Say, I'm responsible to him. Yes. And as such, expected to manage and develop and care for creation. This task is to include actual physical work. Say, it includes physical work. Our work in God's image begins by faithfully representing God. And so we are successful because we faithfully represent him. Our work starts with representing God. This is how we become successful in everything we do, just like the ant. So our first responsibility is God. And we become successful when we represent him in truth, and we become just like the ant. Amen. So the more we spend time with God, the more intimate we get with the Lord, the more we want to please him, right? And the more revelation and truth that we get, the more we grow in understanding of that truth. Like Janice, the more understanding she got of wealth, the more she got understanding of tithing, now she's literally beginning to walk in a realm where she owes no man nothing. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? All right. So there's something else I want to share with you too. So Billy Graham's Evangelistic Association had something on this topic too. He had five things of wisdom. I want to share them with you. The first one was, work is a gift from God. Say, work's a gift from God. Yeah. He created me to work. Genesis 2, verse 15. Can you pull that up? Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. So the first portion of wisdom would be that work is a gift from God. The second one is, those who are able to work should do so. So there's some people that aren't able to work. Some have a disability. Some cannot work. But those who are able to work should do so. And we're going to go back to 2 Thessalonians and read just a little bit further there. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10, and we're going to read through verse 12. For even when we were with you, you were commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Verse 11. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. In verse 12. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. That's a pretty tough word, isn't it? Okay. So those who are able to work should do so. The third one is, and I shared this with you a little earlier, work like God is your boss. So when you go to work, work as if he's your boss. Okay. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Did I put that in there? Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm successful. Okay. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So ultimately, we work for God in everything that we do. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. These are some scriptures you don't have, but you can maybe take them home and look them up. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So no matter what it is that you do, if you work in retail like me, or you work in cybersecurity like Matt, or you're a pastor like Pastor Dave, whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly unto the Lord. Amen. And so then number four would be, take time to rest. Now, in the creation story, God put out the perfect example for you and I. On the seventh day, God rested. And this is found in Exodus 20, 8 through 10. says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. So, and on the seventh day, you'll rest." So we must remember, work must not consume us. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is what consumes us. Amen? So we work, but give yourself time to rest. And I believe that there is a place in God that we can get to, even while working, that we're in rest. Amen? Because God doesn't want us to strive or to struggle or to worry or to fear. God wants us to be able to rest even while we're working. So it's a mindset. It's renewing your mind daily with the Word of God and understanding that God has everything already in his hand, and you have everything already that you'll ever need already on the inside of your born-again spirit. So there's a place in God that each one of us can get to where we rest continually, not just on the seventh day. Okay. And then number five is put God first when you plan for old age. God's word does not talk about retirement. I talked to Pastor Dave about this. God's word doesn't talk about retirement. That is a term created by the world. And I looked it up today. I thought, when did retirement come into being, you know? And I found out that it was the darn Romans. It was the Roman Empire that started the area of retirement. But I thought, Lord, what happened in the U.S.? So this is what I found. Retirement is a fairly modern concept with the origins in military history. Until the late 1800s, those who had to work to earn their living worked their entire lives. So if you lived in the 1800s, you worked your entire life. I mean, until you went on into glory, you were working, right? Okay, so historians credit the Roman Empire with conceiving the idea of an income that continued after work service by offering pensions to retiring soldiers. So that's where retirement began during the first century BC. While this initiated a long tradition of military pensions, the concept of ceasing to work in later life didn't begin to spread to the rest of the workforce until the 19th century. So I don't know about you, but I don't retire. We don't retire. I mean, we'd like to retire, but we don't retire. If you're in the kingdom, if you're in the kingdom of God and you're doing the works of the kingdom, there's no retirement for you in the kingdom of God. Say that with me. If I'm in the kingdom and I'm working the kingdom, there's no retirement for me. You didn't see Abraham didn't retire. Moses didn't retire. I mean, they worked up until the Lord took them home to glory. Kenneth Hagin worked until he said, "I'm ready to go home now, Lord." Right? So he worked every single day. So, I don't know, that could get under somebody's skin a little bit, but that is the truth. Okay, so put God first when you plan for old age. God's word doesn't talk about retirement. That's a term that was created by the world that we live in. Our goal must not be self-centered, but centered around God's will and plan for our life. We don't stop preaching, we don't stop teaching, we don't stop praying, and we don't stop working the works of the kingdom just because we're aging. We continue until we graduate into the kingdom of heaven. Amen? So we just don't sit idle. We continue to do the works of the kingdom well into our 80s. If we live in our 90s, well into our 90s, and I like to say I'm going to live till I'm 120, so when I'm about 120, I'll say, "Lord, I'm ready to go home to be with you, but I'm going to keep preaching and keep teaching and keep speaking the Bible. I'm going to keep teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ." There's no retirement in God's kingdom. Amen? All right, so let's see. Let's go to the next, number two, with Pastor Dave's notes. So he says, we're going to get into something that comes against a work ethic. And so this is, what are signs of a lazy person and how can he change? And so he goes on, your first bullet point there is a lack of creativity with a love of sleep. And let's take a look at Proverbs 20, verse 13. It says, do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread. So ask a lack of creativity with a love of sleep. So ask the Lord, and here's your fill in here. Ask the Lord for his help. Remember how God helped Solomon. So, you know, how many's ever asked the Lord for creativity? Yeah. God wants to give you and I creativity. Say with me, I am creative. Yes, if God is on the inside of you, then you're creative. So if you're looking in 2023 for an idea or you're looking to see what direction the Lord is moving you in and you just need creativity, start thanking God because he's the creator and he lives on the inside of you. Amen. So let's go back. So ask the Lord for his help. Remember how God helped Solomon. And I love this story, 1 Kings 3, 6 through, we're going to read, do I have all the way through 13, verse 13 there? Okay. And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you've given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is to this day." Now, this is King Solomon. Okay. "So now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" This speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing, have not I asked long life for yourself, nor asked for riches for yourself, nor asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice? Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise, understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall anyone like you arise after you. And I also have given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings of all your days." That's powerful. How many's ever asked the Lord for wisdom and knowledge? Yes, yes. Just like King Solomon, we ask the Lord for those things. So Proverbs 20, verse 13 says, "Love not sleep, thou comest to poverty. Open thy eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Love not more sleep than what is good for you. Be alert and diligent in the business, and God will prosper you." Here in 1 Kings 3, 6 through 12, the request of Solomon set the pattern for all those who desire to please God and be blessed by him. His request for wisdom and understanding in the job of government to judge Israel is in true justice. He had no idea how to do that. He desired gifts that would qualify him for his work and calling in life. So the gifts that he desired was, "Lord, I need understanding so I know how to walk in justice, so I know how to lead your people in justice, so I know how to lead this government that you've called me to lead. I have to have your wisdom and I have to have your knowledge." Now, he was in a position where he could have asked for anything, but he asked for those two main things. He desired gifts that would qualify him for this work. God blessed him with all things. So ask the Lord for help to give you creativity. Ask him. So if you're ministering in children's church or when I teach the prophetic class, I ask the Lord, "Lord, what is it that you'd have me to do? What is it? What activation would you have me do today? What would you have me to say? What area do you want me to teach on? What do you have for the River of Life prophetic team for 2023? What is it that you have? I need your wisdom and I need your knowledge. What is it that you have for River of Life Church for 2023? What is it? What direction that do you want us to move in? Lord, we need your wisdom and we need your knowledge so that we can flow in the blessings and the favor of the Lord." And that's exactly what happened. So all the things that Solomon didn't ask for, Solomon got. He got it reaped right back upon him. That's pretty powerful. Yeah. Say this with me. I want you to decree this with me. Say, I have creativity in all that I do. I have been made in the image of God, the Creator. Therefore, I am creative. So therefore, you are creative. Amen? Okay, so let's toggle down to Pastor's next note. He says here, now we're talking about the slothful man. He doesn't finish what he started. So a slothful man doesn't finish what he started. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in that place before. So if I want to be truthful with you, I will start something and then I get tired of doing what I'm doing. And then I put it to the side and say, I'll finish that later. And if you come to my house and look at one side of my closet, you'll understand that. So I'll say, well, I'll get that another day. Well, then days go by and then weeks go by and I'm still on part B in my closet, right? And never got to part C. And I thought, oh, Lord. And there's times when I want to get up, but I'm all excited about getting into writing my journal and getting into writing some prophetic things. And I'll start and I'll get called away. And then I put it down and I forget. And it'd be like, oh, 2 days later, I remembered, oh, yeah, I wanted to write that prophetic note down. And I go back, find that journal. Now it's been buried underneath a couple, two or three other books. And I find that journal, pick it back up. So slothfulness can come to all of us, right? But when it comes, we need to say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't finish that task. You know, I need to go back and finish what I started. Amen. That's an important key to success. And anything that we do, and whatever arena that we're working in, or whatever God has called us to do, finish what you've started. So let's take a look at that scripture, Proverbs 12, verse 27. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is a man's precious possession. Yeah, it's precious when we're diligent to complete a task that God has called us to complete. So I was in this difficult class this past semester. Some of you know about it. And it was challenging for me to be in this class because they lost me when they got on fossils. And they lost me when they got on sedimentary rocks. And they lost me when they got on all this crazy stuff, you know, all this scientific, geological stuff. They lost me in the science mode. And so it was interesting and it was wonderful. The history part of this class was wonderful and fascinating. But the geological stuff in this class was like way over my head. It was opposite of my brain. You know, it kind of falls in the realm of math to me. I don't have that side of the brain, but I'm confessing that going forward that that side of my brain is going to be restored because there's going to be other classes that I'm going to have to take just like this one. And I'm going to have that side of my brain, Pastor Lorraine, working. So I'm learning to, okay, brain, that side of the brain that doesn't want to multiply or divide, you're going to multiply and you're going to divide and you're going to understand sedimentary rocks. You're going to understand geology. You're going to understand the parts of creation that Kimberly needs to understand. So we got to get to that place where what we start, we finish. And I remember I'm finally in the middle of this two-hour exam. And then I have a 45-minute essay to write. And I told Pastor Dave, please, I can't teach on Wednesday night in December. I was like over my head. I said, I got to have time to study. But when I sat down to finish that and I finally completed it, man, how precious was my possession when I finished it. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. I finally completed this. I don't ever have to worry about this class again. Close the book. I was so excited. So I think God wants us to be in that place where we finish what we start. And when we finish, we get this precious feeling that, God, we finished the task, and now I'm ready for the next task that you've called me to. Amen. And I think once we complete one, God opens another door for us to step into one. And each one of us know those times and seasons in our life when it's time to close one door and it's time to open up another door. Amen. And I want the Lord to look at me and say, thank you for closing that door. Now I can open this door for you. Amen. So, okay, that got a little off there. Okay, so he doesn't finish what he started. So we must ask the Lord for endurance and determination to finish what we start. So a slothful man is lazy to roast what he has, but his precious treasure is diligent. We must finish what we start. And look what it says in the Passion Translation in this particular verse. It says, a passive person won't even complete a project, but a passionate person makes good use of his time, wealth, and energy. Say, I make good use of my time, wealth, and energy. Yes. Yes. Okay. Let's see. Let's go down to the next one. It says, he loves, this is the next bullet point, it's the third one. He loves others. Now, this is the slothful person. He loves others to wait on him and work for him. So Proverbs 19 and verse 24. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl, and he will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Say, that's not me. No. But there's so much truth and success in the book of Proverbs. So I want to just say to you that a lazy person wants others to take care of them. Proverbs 19:24 in the Passion Bible says it like this. There are some people who pretend they're hurt deadbeats, who won't even work to feed themselves. Now, that's the Passion Translation. And I have just a couple notes to add here. our society has really taken this overboard. People just don't want to work. The Bible talks about success and gives us wisdom for that success that pleases God. Our government gives out, now listen to this statistic that I found. Our government gives out over 59 million people on an average month some form of welfare or food stamps. That's just amazing. Think about that for a second. 59 million people on an average month. Okay. But I'm here to tell you that it's the church's job to teach the pure word of God concerning work. And while some have difficult times in life, and some will have difficult times. How many's ever struggled from job to job? Yeah. And we have difficult seasons in our life. But this is where the church should come in. The world system of giving money for doing nothing is wrong, and it's an ungodly principle. It's ungodly principle. Our joy comes, as Pastor Dave states, and did we read Matthew? Let's go there. Real joy comes in serving others. Let's pull up Matthew 23, verse 11. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. So the wrong principle is that we don't give money for doing nothing. And I think that this has been established, and I'm not going to get real political here, but it's been established in some socialist places where they give money for nothing. But it's an ungodly principle because, remember, God created man. He created earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he created. And he created six 24-hour days, being 144 hours in a week. And on the seventh day, God rested. And when he created Adam and Eve, he gave Adam and Eve dominion over all the fish and over all the creatures and all the animals on the earth. And he said, put them in the garden. And he said, now tend to this garden, take care of this garden, and work this garden. So that was a pattern for mankind to follow. Over the centuries and over the years, we've gotten into some crazy areas where people no longer want to work. People want things, like the Bible says, they want other people to serve them. And that's not a godly principle. Our greatest joy in the kingdom is serving others. Our greatest joy in the kingdom is giving to others. Our greatest joy is working the fulfillment of the cross of Jesus Christ. And when we work that, and we're successful, God will bless us in the areas of our work, our job, our home, our children, our grandchildren. The benefits of the kingdom will flow out of you like a mighty rushing river. When we get this successful tip in God, he wants for you and I to work. And he doesn't want us to work giving glory to the world system, but giving glory to him, because he's the creator of work. He's our creator, and he wants for you and I to be able to work for him and understanding that he's the greatest boss that there ever was. He's the greatest boss, and he's the greatest rewarder of work that there ever was. Amen? Okay, so our joy comes, as Pastor Dave states, real joy comes in serving others. In the Passion Translation, it says in this verse, the greatest among you will be the one who always serves others from the heart. And that is so powerful. So do your job as unto the Lord. Don't, if laziness comes in or slothfulness comes in or you start a task and you put it off, quickly go back and finish that task. And when you're done with that task, say, thank you, Jesus, I'm ready for the next one. And if it's simply cleaning out a closet or if it's cleaning out a drawer, whatever it is that God has called you to do, do it with all diligence as unto the Lord, and he'll reward you. He's faithful. All right, so we must ask the Lord for endurance and determination to finish what we start. And the slothful person, he loves others to wait on him and to work for him. And then Pastor Dave talks about the real joy comes in serving. So number three, now this is where we're going to get into the ant a little bit. How do ants give us a solution for the problem or initiative? And I'm going to go through this with you again. We're going to read Proverbs 6, and let's just read 6 through 8. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Which having no captain or overseer or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in harvest. And I told you the story how I watched that little ant line. I'll tell you another little quick one here. So my son, when he was little, he would love the ants too. And he would collect my empty jars. And Bobby would go and fill my empty jars up with sand. And he'd go get ants and he'd put ants in the jar. And he'd put little crumbs on the very top of the jar. Do you remember that, Travis? And he put little ants, he put little crumbs on the top of the jar. And so we'd have this ant factory in the jar sitting on my counter. And we were able to watch the ants because the ants would then build tunnels. And we could look through the mason jar and we could see the ants working and they were coming up and getting pieces of the bread that were too big for them. And they were carrying them back down in the tunnel and taking them to their home. And I thought, wow, they were so diligent to work. And they were clean creatures too. So when the Bible says, consider the ant and be wise, be wise. Okay. So I want to just share with you that the ant is the emblem of industry among the Orientals. So, and the Orientals have some of the strongest work ethics in the world. And that's their lead emblem is the ant. So, and I want to share 15 things about the ant with you that you can relate to yourself. You can probably find yourself in one of these 15 things. Okay. So an ant, number one, is the most laborious insect in existence. There's nothing like the ant. The ant knows how to labor and the ant knows how to work. Number two, it's the most highly industrialized is the ant. They have little underground tunnels that are unimaginable to you and me. And it's hard to kill off an ant colony. You got to have specialists come in to get rid of that ant colony. You have problems with ants, you know, because they're industrialized. They know how to fool you and they know how to take care of their own. Okay. So number three, the ant knows how to collect food in proper seasons. And so there's seasons in our life where if the Lord says to you, I want you to stock up. Think about Joseph and the famine. So when the Lord tells you to stock up, you stock up. You know, you do what the Lord tells you to do. The ant, you don't have to tell the ant that. The ant knows winter's coming and the ground is going to freeze. Okay, number four, the ant fondly is attached to their young. Number five, I love this one. They're prophetic. They have foresight for others. So they know what's coming. They know when danger's coming. They know immediately, and they know how to get their people protected. And they know when there's food. Like if you ever get a little ant in your house, you get one little ant, you got 1,500 more that are following that one little ant because they know how to take care of their own. And then you got a nuisance in your house, right? How does it have problems with ants in your house? Okay. So they have foresight. They warn the others. They tell them. Okay. So six, they work quietly without show. So they come in and they do their job and they're not trying to show off to the big black ant or to the big red ant or to the carpenter ant. They come in and they just do their work without show. And I love sometimes that when I come into the church and I see people in here and they're doing things and you didn't ask them to do it and they're just doing it. So that's like the ant. Okay. So seven, they work unweariedly until the work is done. So they don't stop that day until the work is done. How many stopped in the middle of the way and went home? Okay, but the ant doesn't do that. The ant will finish their job, finish what they started. Okay, so number eight, they work together in astonishing systems of organization to the best of the good of the whole community. So they work in systems with organizations next to none, and they do it because of the good of their whole colony. They stay organized. Say with me, I can be organized. Okay. They are ingenious carpenters and masons. I mean, they know how to build their tunnel. So I went out to the zoo in North Carolina, the zoo out there in Asheville. And I don't know if it was the hippopotamus place I was at, one of those places. They had out there the largest ant nest, carpenter ant nest in the middle of the field. It was like a mountain in the middle of the field, and it was ants. And so they are so industrialized, and they know how to build, and they know how to take care of their own. God's people, too, are very creative, and we know how to take care of our own. Say that with me. I know how to take care of my own. Yes. Okay. So they keep their underground homes and tunnels, too, so clean. So they keep, number 10 would be, their homes are so scrupulously clean. So you don't find anything wrong in that home of theirs. So even when I would watch in the jar, that always amazed me because the mess was up here where they went to get the food, but down the tunnels and where they deposited it, it was all clean. Like there, you couldn't see any scrap of anything along the path of the ant, nothing, because they carried it with them. Okay. So number 11, no one among them exists without a definite job in life to help meet the needs of the community. So everyone had a job. Everyone in the body of Christ fits together like a glove. We all have a job to do in the kingdom. I may be the pinky, a teacher, but I need my thumb. I need this thumb in order to function as a pinky, okay? So we're all together fit, united as one. Number 13, their social life compares with that of human beings in many respects because they take care of their own, they watch over their own, they take care of the community that they're in, and so it's just like human beings. We are the same way. We take care of our own children, we take care of our homes, we take care of the churches that we go to, so we're just like the ant. Number 14, they are intelligent and wise. You can't outsmart an ant. So you want to try to get rid of an ant, you're going to have to go find some poison to get rid of that ant, because that ant is not leaving until you get something to get rid of that ant. How many has ever had that? Yeah. So they're intelligent and wise. You can't really fool one. Okay. Number 15, they carry out life's work without being forced to do so by a guide or overseer or ruler. And when God placed you in the kingdom of heaven to oversee his creation, you don't have anybody over you other than God. And so we can be just like that ant. We don't need to be overseen. We are the rulers of God's creation. You and I are that ruler. So we can dictate to our circumstances around us. We can be successful in all that we do. We can take this principle on how to be successful and how to look at the ant, and we can be wise. Say with me, I am wise. I am wise. No wonder the Lord said, consider the ant and be wise. It's no wonder that he said that. So I want you to stand with me. In closing, I don't know what time it is, the clock back there. Is it 8:30? Oh, perfect. Say with me, God is good. God has created me to walk successful in every area of my life. 2023 will be a year of abundance for me. My family will prosper. Those that have walked away will come back. Healing is restored to my body. Sickness cannot dwell in me, in my family, in my church, in Jesus' name. I am successful in all that I do. God is for me and not against me. Greater is he that lives on the inside of me than he that's in the world. Every problem is God's problem. I am free from disease and turmoil. Fear doesn't belong in me. It can't come near my dwelling. I am successful, and I remind you, devil, that you are under my feet. This is the year of promotion for me. This is the year that I take the limits off. This is the year that I walk in the wisdom of God. This is the year of my jubilee. This is the year of my restoration. This is the year of my freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.
Praise the Lord. Great stuff. Wow.
Oh, did I give it to you?
No.
Oh, pardon me. Pastor Dave.